It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast, the sidekick to the weekly newsletter. This is number 301. Len, lots going on this week in data breach and overreach, and some pretty funny stories about AOC as well. Just, you know, the content farm that is the Ocasio-Cortez campaign and representation duration here. I'm lost for words. Been a long day. What's going on over there? How are you?
It's been equally as long over here. It's all right. I mean, it's cold. I don't know. I keep saying this all the time. It's cold, and it's abnormal for this time of year at this place in Southern Ontario. I'm just shocked. I go outside, shorts and a t-shirt. I'm shivering. I have to wear a sweater, but other than that, I'm okay. How about you, brother?
I'm good, man. I had sweatpants and hoodie on today as well, so you're not alone. Now, Len, we got all the usual good stuff here as far as Access of Easy, but we should mention that Access of Easy now on Noster, of course. And if you need a NIP05 identifier, I'm going to read this here as best I can. Easy Noster for WordPress can help you with that. So if you want to be verified, I think is the right maybe parlance there, Elan, the right nomenclature.
Yeah, it's a name verification, so you could identify the person to be who they are. It's almost like a blue check mark, but somewhat along those lines, but not exactly that. So that way you could follow somebody, you could ensure who it is that they are. The NIP05 is more of an identifier for who the person is on Noster.
Love it. Okay, that's good. So we'll direct you to Mark and team for that. You know, I don't often shill Len on this show, but Len is also like a big Noster expert. So if you have a question, like I don't want to say that you'll help Len, but you'll at least maybe try to help people if they have a question. You've been great help to me and to many others in the Bitcoin space. So I'm sure you could help if need be as well.
Yeah, bring it on. I'll be happy to answer any questions. It's a decentralized platform. In fact, I'm going to be mentioning Noster a few times today, and I'm going to give them some kudos for what they're doing in comparison to other platforms. But yeah, if anybody has any questions, feel free to reach out. I'll be happy to answer them.
Outstanding, sir. So let's get to it. The last week's quote of the week: if you need a machine and don't buy it, then you will ultimately find that you have paid for it and don't have it. That was by Henry Ford. That's great. Again, like, some of these quotes I feel like I've heard in Civilization games. Like I said, every time you get a new tech in a Civ game, they throw you a quote from the ancients there. And Henry Ford, not quite an ancient historian or ancient personality. But yeah, that's a really good quote. I think that really rings true. This week's quote, Marilyn got that. So she gets her next round of hosting, I think, 50% off or on the house, one or the other, I believe. Oh yeah, re-hosting renewal on EasyDNS, which is fantastic.
Yeah, for 1 month.
Yeah, wicked. And this week's quote, this is another good one. The most important revolutions don't come from marching in the streets. The most important revolutions happen in each person's heart. That's a good quote. That's by, you tell me, listener, reader. You can search up the answer. Not. You have to make sure you get this on your own. No Googling, no nonsense, and post it in the comment section. And then, as I just mentioned, your next domain hosting renewal on EasyDNS. Another good quote.
I'm guessing that's not a Bolshevik saying.
Yeah, I doubt it. You know, it's a good quote that I've been thinking about how I'm going to open the Canadian Bitcoin conference. And I've been looking at some of these quotes, and I was just going to tell you what I really like as a quote, but now I'm going to save it.
Save it.
Yeah, no, I don't want to. Yeah.
Surprise everybody and don't release it. Don't even tell me behind the scenes. I want to know. I want to be surprised just like everybody else.
Sure. Let's get into it. What do we got? We got, I think, five stories today. Some of them more serious than others, but all of them worth listening to. Let's dive in.
Well, Telegram. Now, they're thumbing their nose at the Malaysian Communications and Digital Ministry, and they're doing so by not honoring a request to take down some political content that's been found on their platform. And Telegram has stated that they do monitor their communication platforms for the sale of illegal garbage like drugs and other things that may go against their terms of service. And this is as far as they want to go with respect to monitoring and putting a kibosh to selling of that illegal garbage over there. Telegram stated that they do not want to go down the slippery road of censoring political content at the request of any government out there. And apparently they have been receiving these requests from the Malaysian government for some time, as well, as early as January of this year. So that's several months that they've been receiving this and not honoring it. And in this case, it's good to see Telegram stand their ground. But with respect to Telegram, I'm just going to go into the weeds here. I truly wouldn't trust that platform. The messages are saved centrally. If you ever close or delete an account and close or delete the app on your phone and reopen it on a different phone, you'll notice that all your messages are still there. So they're stored centrally. It's all tied to something, i.e. your phone number. I just want to say that because that they have been monitoring our communications to see if we are selling drugs or anything along those lines to make sure that we are abiding by the terms of services, they're searching everything. So I wouldn't truly trust Telegram if you're sending any sort of communication. You want it to be secretive in nature, or just at least want it to not subject to be any sort of searches. I would suggest something like Signal might be a better alternative out there. I'm maybe more partial to that, but there's also even some Noster type developments out there that you could actually send chat messages through the Noster network. And I don't remember if any off the top of my head, but some people are building some of these messaging platforms built upon Noster, which is a decentralized platform, which is essentially peer-to-peer, where you're relying on relays to help send the messages or at least learn where it's going to be sent to. So I would suggest Telegram doing a good thing here, but it's a caveat. Don't rely on them too much, because there is something that they can do to rug pull everybody. And I'm not totally sold on them. Maybe it's just me, but I'm just not sold on Telegram in totality.
You took the words right out of my mouth, so I don't have a ton to add here. I will make another suggestion. If you don't have Noster, there is a very clean iOS app called Session, where every time you create a chat, it gives you a session ID. It uses what they're calling, you know, anonymous routing and end-to-end encryption to make sure that nothing is centrally stored. And best of all, it's free. So there's lots of options out there. I'm curious, you're Mr. Open Source, Noster obviously a FOSS product. Is there another sort of like strictly messaging platform that you know of that's open source? Because Signal is not, right? Signal and Telegram are not. I wonder if there's something out there that's available. Like is Jitsi, I know, is a platform that does video calls and may also do messaging, group messaging and things like that. Maybe not with as clean, you know, a set of functions, a suite of you know, offerings, but can you use that? Is there a FOSS alternative? What do you think?
There are. There's going to be a ton of them. But what type of platform are they relying on? Is there going to be a centralized service? Just because it's free and open source doesn't mean it's going to be respecting your privacy. I would recommend anything built on a Noster platform, Noster network. That's the best alternative. Keet, that's the one that really comes to mind. I think it's K-E-E-T. I could be wrong, but that I tried out in the past, and it's built on the Noster network, and that is open source, totally decentralized, and that is probably one of the more better alternatives out there. Not well adopted, and it's still in its infancy, so it's still going to be a lot of things that need to be discovered with that, but something with that. So I can't say of anything that I know off the top of my head. Signal is just the be-all and end-all for now, but I
is this is key. I'm looking at the key website. Is this comes as a suggested repo when you use Linux, right? This is one of their alternatives to, I think it is. The logo looks very familiar to me, and I've done Linux a few times in the past. You don't know
which flavor of Linux.
I was using Ubuntu. I've used Ubuntu. I've used Jolly Cloud back in the day. There's a throwback for you. I don't even know if you know about that one. That's a long time ago. Yeah. I don't know. I used to work at a place where we got a lot of computers and messed around with them for, you know, shits and giggles. But yeah, anyway, so lots of opportunities here for fun and excitement if you like trying new messaging apps. But like Len said, open source is key. Decentralization is key. You don't want anything stored long term. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. And Twitter, it looks like they're going the opposite direction of Telegram. And Twitter is bowing down to governments regarding censorship demands. And Elon Musk was out there claiming that Twitter had no choice. And this was too much of the disappointment of people who were cheering when he bought Twitter. And at the time, he was proclaiming that Twitter would be a platform for free speech. And well, it certainly is much more free speech out there compared to the previous regime. But like Telegram, Twitter is also a centralized platform. And this could be subjected to the control like a marionette anytime that somebody wants to do that. And and especially, you know, any government out there, they could, as long as you want to play by the rules in which you're operating in their jurisdiction, well, they could subject their rules above them. So, and it's likewise, Twitter, in this case, they're trying to follow the rules set out by governments such as Turkey and India and probably a few others. And they did this, they followed the rules by India, and they did it because they could have been potentially banned. And I say this because look at TikTok. TikTok has been banned in India. It's a very widely used platform service, but whatever, by so many people. Everybody's aware of it. But India has stuck firm, and they banned that from their country. Now, people may be getting around that through VPNs. I do not know. So it goes to show you that they're willing to play hardball with just about any service out there. So Twitter, unfortunately, they had to bow down to this. And Twitter said they received more than 47,000 removal requests between July and December of 2021. And of those, they complied with 51% of them. So the majority, slightly majority, but still a majority. And I'm just going to go back to Noster. If you're looking for a platform which is going to be free of all this garbage, Noster seems to be it. It's a little rough around the edges, but it certainly does not have all this garbage like censorship and all this. You could speak whatever you want on there, but you will then be subjected to ridicule, of course. So it's just, it is a free for all, but still people will pass judgment. So it's a great place. I like going on there. What are your thoughts, Joey?
You're right about Noster for sure. Censorship free. And yeah, the only judge, jury, and executioner you have to worry about are your peers on there. And there's plenty of those for sure. Everyone's willing to drop the guillotine on you for your first dumb comment. The Twitter censorship thing has become complex in recent years because there's countries like, you know, we'll call them the developing world, let's say, that are a little less willing to air their thinking when it comes to what they're asking, you know, to be taken down. Political opponents are censored or silenced. We've seen documents from different regimes or about different regimes, I should say, being asked to be removed from the platform. Then you look over here at Canada, the US, you know, some European countries as well, I'm sure. And what we have is a sort of intentionally vague and obfuscated, you know, a vague sort of tip of the spear about why something has to be taken down, what has to be taken down, and, you know, who's allowed to post certain things. You'll remember, of course, that CNN over the years has published many leaked documents when they were conveniently targeting adversaries of the current, you know, owner of CNN or the current administration, you know, CNN supported. And then there's been other times where Twitter is taken down, you know, sort of most critically and top of mind again today, somehow the Hunter Biden laptop photos, right? For many, many years, those photos were removed from the internet. And now here we are 3 years after that election. And those pictures are not only available online, they're available on Twitter and they're legit. And, you know, you've kind of seen the unraveling of this security state and, you know, dare I say, deep state attempt to silence what would have been, in my view, and probably the view of most rational people, a significant election influencing moment, you know, and definitely an influential cache of photos. I'll say that. It's hard for Twitter to make a good decision here because I think that you have to be probably a free speech absolutist in these cases. And I don't think that's ever going to happen on a platform that size. It's just not going to. When you rely on advertising dollars and when you rely on people coming to your platform and when there's alternatives starting to pop up, whether it's the Substack Notes app, which you didn't mention, but is a, you know, sort of a key recent entry into this ecosystem, or something like Noster, or even Len, like, you know, Reddit does a pretty good job with this too. They're going to add something like Twitter, I am sure, in the next, you know, year or so, because it seems like there's a lot of opportunity to disrupt that platform for people who don't want the free speech absolutism. So you can go that route, but I think that ship has sailed. Or you can go the other route where I guess, like Elon is saying, you just take down whatever modern governments want you to take down because you don't want the smoke. And the solution at the end of the day, Len, I think is going to be that there's divisions and clear battle lines and just lines in terms of user adoption for these platforms. I go on Noster for some things that I want to see related to Bitcoin that I know I'll have a hard time finding amidst all the noise on Twitter. And I go to Twitter for things that I know Noster's not going to have. you're probably the same, right? I know we do the other show, and there's, you know, a research element, like we've talked about before, to going on Twitter and reading things basically all week, right? You take in so much information just through osmosis going on that platform that you otherwise wouldn't get. And there's no replacement for that at the moment. Will there be in the future? I don't know. But anyway, so this whole thing about censorship and takedowns, not an enviable task that Musk has here, trying to decide between one option and the other. So if you had to guess, what would you say? Would you say they go, you know, like he was paraded and bandied about before the takeover? Will they go full free speech absolutism at some point, or try to, or will they slide back down the other way, the same way that Twitter's previous regime was going?
I think it's going to be up to the whim of the governments that he wants to operate in their jurisdiction. Depending on which way they want to blow, he's going to have to comply or else be subjected to a ban. And if I'm going to guess which way they're going to be wanting to go, probably more censorship they're going to be asking upon him and his platform. But just my guess. I could be wrong. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Same thing? I think you're probably right. Yeah.
Yeah.
How much appetite does that guy have? Like, I mean, he's already chosen a new CEO who we know has maybe some, you know, predisposition to censorship regime. I don't want to speculate. I want to see what her track record looks like after 6 months with Twitter underneath her. But, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about this again. Access of Easy lends itself to a story like this. And I am 100% sure that there will be another story like this in the near future.
You know, the thing is, you never really know, especially if the algorithm gets tweaked slightly. And if it's done so a little bit over a long period of time, it's hard to notice. And
he celebrated sharing it, right? Remember, he shared that whole data set and the diagrams and the explanation and rationale. I shouldn't say rationale, the explanation and the algorithms, you know, sort of end purpose based on different tweets and engagement functions and things like that. That really, you know, maybe it's like a symptom of our short attention span as a society, but what happened to that? No one really looked at that for more than a day or two, right? I don't even think we talked about it on this show. Maybe it was before we started doing this show, but you know, it seems to me like that would be an important thing to mention in a story like this. And while I don't necessarily expect CNN to pick that up, I do, which is where the story is sourced, I would expect someone on Twitter to reference that and be able to connect some dots. And I haven't seen that either. So I don't know.
Well, let's keep moving on. And this is another censorship type story. And there was, past tense, an AOC parody account on Twitter, because now it is no more. It was getting a lot of traction. And the last time I saw it, it was up to a little bit over 250,000 followers. And depending on which way you lean politically, the tweets came across as either inflammatory or comical. And the account even went so far to get a blue check mark and surprisingly had interaction with Elon Musk. He replied to some of the tweets. And the real AOC, not the fake account, but the real AOC, was none too impressed by everything. And she even made note that she's going to be taking this up with the DOJ. And funny enough that after she said that, the account was shut down. I'm not sure why that's the case. We could probably guess, but it's just really guesswork, and we'll never really be told the truth about this. But I do want to say something. Is this wasn't the first time this account was shut down. In May 2019, it was suspended for what they say impersonating the congresswoman. So maybe that's the same reason why they're shutting it down again this time. But it's another censorship type thing. It was a whole tongue-in-cheek account, and nobody I think out there thought this was really AOC, but it rubbed her and probably others the wrong way, and she took it up with some very important people. If the DOJ was involved, maybe this is why Twitter decided to shut it down and just, rather than ruffle feathers, just bow down once again. I don't know. Another crazy story.
True woman of the people, right? Gets upset that someone is imitating her. You know, what you should be concerned about if you're AOC is that the parody is, you know, to your low IQ supporters, indistinguishable from the real thing. There were some great tweets on there. The only way we can stop inflation is to print more money and hand it out or whatever. And you know, it's funny for you and me because we look at that and we're like, this is, first of all, clearly a parody. It's in the name. And second of all, yeah, it is pretty close to what she would say. She may try and, you know, finesse it and put a veil over top of it. But generally, these are the same things that these two accounts are talking about. In my view, AOC should have embraced that and, you know, the same way that other people have embraced parodies themselves over the years. It's worth mentioning, Len, even YouTube, you know, for all the things it's taken down over the last 5 or 6 years, including political speech from conservative candidates and conservative pundits, including stuff from developing nations who wanted certain things taken down, and including even things like repair schematics, during the rights to repair wars, which are ongoing in most of the modern world, even YouTube has an allowance for parody. And, you know, for YouTube to have that, and Elon of all people, if this is what happened, we're speculating a bit, but, you know, for Twitter to have an issue with this, and for Ocasio-Cortez to, you know, go to her friends, you know, beg mommy and daddy to do something about it, it's shameful and disgusting. This person's not a serious person. She's not very smart. And I don't think that, you know, she should be taken seriously. This is just another reason why politicians generally have become completely thin-skinned and unable to combat even sort of the softest of softballs when they come their way, right? It's really, you know, it speaks to the state of affairs in modern politics more than anything.
Do you think she's ever going to run for become the Democratic nominee for president? I think she has aspirations, and I think she's got support enough, maybe not to catapult her to be there, but to cause some ruckus.
I don't know. You need the support of your party. Like, there's other, think about the number of, like if you had told me that 4 years ago that she might run, I would have said, okay, maybe, but how much momentum does she really have now? Right. She's a laughingstock more than anything else. She's become a meme, a caricature of herself over the last year or two, you know, right down to the crying at the border photo that everybody photoshops over and over and over again, including for this story I saw a few times. So I don't think she's, you know, I don't think she's even well-liked in her own party, to be honest with you. Certainly she's
pissed off a lot. She's going against the establishment when she's talking about we should be banning trading, at least.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, people like Pelosi, for instance, obviously, and she's well entrenched in the party, doesn't like that type of approach. So, I mean, other people may like that that type of talk, but whatever. Let's move on, Joey. And something we've never talked about in this show is Discord. And Discord admins, looks like they were on the receiving end of a hack, and that's been causing them some grief during the month of May. And Discord, it's a platform I normally associate with gaming for some reason. I could be wrong with that, but I always associate with that. But there's also other servers on there. In fact, a good server like the Canadian Bitcoiner channel is on there. So check it out if you haven't done so. They're run by a couple of cool dudes. But anyways, the Discord admins, they were nailed after a fake reporter was going out there from an unnamed crypto-focused news outlet. I couldn't find what was a crypto-focused news outlet that he was or she was being associated with. But anyways, this fake reporter was asking for an interview from some of these admins and provided a link. And, well, we talk about this so many times, you know the rest. And this gets really funny because while the account holders that were hacked were likely sleeping, the attackers that were doing all this at night were able to gain access to the accounts. And they were posting announcements in the Discord channels about exclusive airdrops and NFT mint events. And these are scammer buzzwords. Anybody that's seen these before knows that they are truly about just pumping dumps. And they asked for people to connect their wallets to this scammer site. And in the process, they drained the wallets of all their digital assets and made everybody look foolish, from the Discord admins all the way down to the end user that were foolish enough to connect their wallets to the scammer's website. I have nothing to say about this. If you are foolish enough to do this and fall for one of these traps, it's one of those have fun staying poor type events. And airdrop NFTs, come on, give me a break. This is not 2021. That's a two-year-old scam, but I guess it's still prevalent today.
Len, I'm not even going to touch this one, okay? We've said this so many times. Nigerian Prince emails, if you're seeking, you know, instant wealth vis-a-vis airdrops and NFT mints, you know, you're the target audience. That also should mention Discord, famously one of the worst apps for privacy on the planet. Logs keystrokes, logs web activity, logs basically everything you do. It's a great app. It's, you know, very functional and does a lot of great things. You and I use it for, you know, the show kind of community chat. by request of the community. If it was up to us, I think we probably would have chosen something else. But it's you know, what can you say about this? It hasn't been said already. It's standard fare, man. If you want to play dumb games, you win dumb prizes, as the saying goes. So let's leave it at that.
And by now, everybody should be aware and have heard of the Twitter files. This is a Twitter-focused show, it seems. Anyways, Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter, that was the direct result, or the Twitter files is a direct result of Elon Musk's purchase. And there's absolutely no way that this would have been done under the previous management. So this is all a result of Elon Musk's purchase from Twitter. And even though all this information was leaked, it seems like it's pretty much business as usual for the people that were exposed by the Twitter files. And from all of this spawned something called the censorship industrial complex. And it is made up of the Stanford Internet Observatory, the University of Washington, the Atlantic Council's Digital Forensic Research Lab, and Graphica. They also have loose ties to the Department of Defense, the CIA, and other intelligence agencies. And they all claim to be neutral, neutral expertise, in fact. And they're throwing out terms like misinformation and disinformation. We've all heard this before. And through this all, they're creating blacklists of disfavored people. And they're also demanding social media platforms to perform censorship, or even de-amplify or ban certain people. Again, it's all things we talked about in this episode. I'll be honest, I have never heard of the censorship industrial complex before I've read this story. So I'm going to definitely learn a little bit more about this because it's piqued my interest. And I'm curious what's going to happen from all this. Have you heard of them before all this?
Yeah, we've heard of this. Maybe not, you know, you've heard of this too, because we've talked about it. Maybe not by that name, but There is for sure a group of organizations and probably zealous individuals who think that they just have this divine right to tell you what you can and can't watch, can and can't say, can and can't see, and can and can't hear. And this is what, you know, again, I hate this idea of the deep state because I think it's like, you know, tinfoily, but this is adjacent to that idea, right? You know, that these organizations are basically unappointed. There's no term limits like there is for politicians. There's a chance, you know, as a result, for these people to really amass power and amass favor over the course of many years, sometimes many decades. And so what we see is people's, you know, whims and political views and views on social media and views on what people should and shouldn't say and what's good and bad for, you know, the development of a modern state, a modern democratic state, they leak into policy decisions. If that was the only problem, that would be bad enough. But the bigger problem, like the story mentions, and, you know, Schellenberger's mentioned this before, the bigger problem is that none of this stuff is transparent. It's not a policy decision. It's a backroom decision. It's two guys in an elevator deciding they're not going to allow something. It's Twitter and Google and Facebook and Instagram deciding on the same day that anything that's covering the New York Post story about Hunter Biden's laptop isn't going to be allowed on. And until the New York Post apologizes, they're banned. They can't talk. They can't even talk about talking about it. They're banned. We've seen this in a number of different places over the years. And, you know, to your point about what's going to happen next, or to your question about what's going to happen next, honestly, Len, one of the reasons I think that Twitter is going to be in for some, you know, sort of friction filled times is because there's a huge chunk of the political sphere in terms of these power brokers that relies on a network like Twitter to remain in power, to keep their position at sort of the top of the food chain. And Twitter doesn't look like it's going to continue to allow that. They're going to allow at least open debate about things like, you know, dare I say, you know, gender ideologies, dare I say, the Ukraine war, dare I say things like, I don't know, deficit spending even, right? Deficit spending is right now in the ether for the first time in a long time. And the public was shocked by it during COVID and since by the inflation. And we may be approaching another period where they're shocked by it again. And at some point, you know, deficit spending may even be a contentious issue to discuss. There's a mention here of Bill C-18 as well, here in Canada, or C-11, I should say. A lot of people are thinking about this now. And it, in my view, that's a sign that the people in power, or the people, I shouldn't say people in power, because it's not all the people in power, but the people who use these platforms nefariously to suppress opposition are looking at alternatives. And the alternatives are one of two things, right? It's either bang on Elon's door every time something comes up that you don't like, or it's start a new platform and try and get everyone over there. Network effects are hard to overcome, as we know, and Twitter's got a great one. But all the same, Len, taking it lying down, probably not an option. So when you ask what's next, I would say something, not nothing. That's for damn sure.
Very broad hits in general. I'll take that. But anyways, well, that was a good rip, Joey. A lot to talk about. And that quote, you know what? I'm going to Google it myself. I'm not going to say.
You're not allowed. Who it is, you can't.
I could do. I'm not into running.
It doesn't matter if you submit or not. No Googling. In fact, you can't Google anything from now on. You're not allowed. You got to find an open source alternative.
I'm using Bing.
Ah, great.
Does anybody use Bing? I don't know.
From Microsoft. Microsoft.
I'm still an Ask Jeeves type guy.
So. I like Profusion personally. That's a throwback to search engine days. Buddy, that was a big one in elementary school. Anyways, okay. God bless everyone. Take care. We'll see you next week. Take care.